Everyone, welcome to Geocast 34 here in Costa Rica. I'm just going to share about a recent experience here that was pretty interesting. Thank you all for listening, all those who comment and send me messages, or when you relate, or even if you don't agree and you give me a perspective, I really appreciate it. So anyone listening, always feel free to reach out. I'm at @elementalgeo on Instagram. You can follow along on Spotify if you like these short episodes, Geocast. You know, you can follow me there. And if you enjoy them as well, if you could leave a review on Spotify, that would be awesome. So anyways, I was in here in Costa Rica and I had a few friends in town. I got invited to a San Pedro ceremony. This is coming off the week at Rhythmia. The following Saturday, there was a San Pedro ceremony. And, you know, I wasn't too sure I wanted to go. It was an all-night ceremony and been a bit tired here with the family, but I was really feeling into it. And because I had a few friends in town, I thought it'd be a good way to kind of connect. And I love the San Pedro medicine, much different than ayahuasca. It's a cactus from South America, Huachuma. Got the name San Pedro. I guess when the Spanish came in, they tried it and they felt like they saw God or connected to God. So it's a beautiful medicine, long journey. Not as psychedelic as ayahuasca, but you can have some visions, some insights. And so, where do I want to start this story from? Yeah, so on the Wednesday, you know, my good friend James was here, Uncle James. And there was this, I got invited to go to a cacao mushroom gathering up at one of the properties up here, but they had like live DJs and yoga and connection and all kinds of cool things. I couldn't make it, so I said, James, you should check it out, you know, spend some time with the family. And so he ends up going, and that was on the Wednesday. And so on the Thursday, we go for a morning surf, and I go to pick him up at his hotel near the beach. And we were going for a we're going to go for a hike that morning, actually. That's what kind of happened. We're going to go for a hike. This was Friday morning. And I go to pick him up, and he's all discombobulated. He spills his tea, and I can tell like something's going on. He's like, man, I can't find my shorts. I think I put them in the wash. I had a credit card in there, a bunch of cash. I can't find them. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm sure it'll show up. And like, yeah, I hope, you know, the people here are honest. I think they would. I don't think they would take it. But we'll see, you know. And so that was kind of on his mind. And we went for this beautiful hike up into the mountains. My friend Morgan has a beautiful property here called Nakawa. It's 300 acres, and they're developing this kind of healing retreat in nature. There's waterfalls, and it's beautiful. Cause in this part of Costa Rica, it gets really dry in the, what they call, I guess, the winter time, but it's just the dry season. But it has waterfalls all year round, some natural springs. So I like going there from time to time. And me and James end up going, have a beautiful hike, make it up to the waterfalls. On the way back, I was just like toasted. I almost didn't make it back. And so we go for that hike and we come back, and Friday night, just totally chill. And we decide, yeah, we're going to go to that San Pedro ceremony on the Saturday. So next day I'm hanging out with the fam. And that night we go for dinner with James, and he's like, oh yeah, someone I met it was called Aphrodisiac, the mushroom and cacao event. Messaged me, this guy I met, I went there super early. It said, you know, start at 3, be on time. And I told him, listen, everything in Costa Rica doesn't start on time. So he was there at 3, he was the first one there. And they came up to him and asked him, like, what is your intention here? He's like, oh, I'm trying to think of, you know, like a spiritual answer. He's like, I'm here to hold the light. And they're like, we're all here to hold the light, man. Well, what are you doing here? And he's like, I don't know. And then he realized, well, maybe they're asking me if I want to help with something. I'm like, do you guys need any help? I'm like, yeah, go fill up the water. Little did they realize he bought one of the VIP tickets and wasn't a volunteer, because they thought he was there to volunteer. But it was a funny story. Anyways, during that volunteering, he met a guy named Aladdin. And that Friday, he let me know, like, yeah, that guy Aladdin, he found my shorts. He wants to meet up with me tomorrow and chat. We really connected at the event. And so that next day, he was going to go meet Aladdin near where the event was, and get his shorts back. He wasn't sure yet if the money would be there or the credit cards. And so during the day on Saturday, I'm like, hey, how's it going? He's like, yeah, I got a crazy story to tell you. So that night I get dropped off at James's place, and he just told me the story. I met this guy Aladdin, we had so much in common, we were connecting, he's much younger than I am. He's much younger than I am, and the number 444 started coming up. He's born on April 4th, and I was seeing 4 and number 8, and we were talking about all these synchronicities, and I told him, yeah, the star's kind of a vortex for that, like synchronicity is kind of strange how it happens sometimes. I feel like a lot of pieces come together or things break apart so they can get realigned down here. And so anyways, it reminded me of the story that I had about my experience with the number 444, which I've shared, I think, in a podcast before, but I'll say the story again. For some reason, I didn't tell him the story. I forgot. He kept talking about his experience. I was just listening. We're getting ready to go. And so we hop in the car, and what he'd found out that morning, also before he met with Aladdin, he got a massage from his friend, from our friend Luna, and she had mentioned that they were both going to the ceremony, and it was Aladdin's first San Pedro ceremony, and all of these kind of synchronicities. And James really felt like, yeah, we're here to support this guy. And I'm like, James, it's your first ceremony too, man. Maybe you should just focus on being present yourself. And so, anyways, long story short, we end up giving him a ride to the ceremony. So we go pick him up, and we're driving, and we're just chatting a bit, and just getting to know each other. And I remember my 444 story. And it's a bit of a long story. I'll try to get the good details in there. So I tell this story, like, okay, so this one time where we were doing a retreat in Ibiza. My friend Roxy Moon and I, we had this retreat in LA. And then from there, everyone's like, yeah, let's do this in Ibiza. So we planned a trip to Ibiza. And I was looking for a place to stay because I brought my family with me. It was a mushroom, it was like a transformational retreat. We had a mushroom ceremony as part of it. And I was looking for the week after to go with my family somewhere in Europe. So I did a Facebook post, hey guys, where should I go in Europe? Where's a cool place to check out? And got like 200 responses. And the only one response that really caught my attention was this one, a guy named Daniel. And he's like, come to Portugal. I drive a tuk-tuk. It was a fancy one, like a 7-seater. I do tours, and it'd be awesome to meet you and your family if you want to come here. I could show you guys around. I asked my wife what she thought. She said, yeah, it's cool. Let's check it out. So we end up booking that trip. And it was interesting because the week before, when I was in Ibiza, Roxy Moon was telling me a story about this party he DJed. He would DJ around the world, and there's this one group that he DJed from time to time called the Hedonai. And they throw these crazy 3-4 day parties, and they're all about, I guess, kind of hedonism, maybe, which is the free living free. And they would rent these castles in Europe and different places in the world and have these like 3 or 4 day parties with like food and dancing and you name it. So he told me about this experience where he was there and had these huge, I guess, communal showers, and he was having a shower, and he met this girl, and they kind of like really connected for a moment and started this deep conversation. And she had told him that she was from the Pleiades star system. And he also claims he is from the Pleiades star system too. And they were talking about ayahuasca and just had this connection. He was telling me the story as part of his bigger story of his whole experience there. And I thought it was interesting because, like, when people say they're from a star system, like I take everything with a grain of salt. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I've had no real experiences. Like I think we're all from the stars, but do I personally believe I'm from a specific star system? I don't know. I'm not sure. And it was interesting because then, when I met Daniel in Portugal for the first time, actually right when my trip started, like I started seeing the number 444, like the odometer on the car, the time, on receipts, on my phone, the gas prices, it just started popping up everywhere. And when I had lunch with Daniel the first time, he was just telling me about what he does. And there's this beautiful mountain there called Sintra. And it's this very mystical mountain that he said, the legend has it, that when Atlantis sunk, that's where the Atlanteans went first. And there's Moorish castles there. And over time, all these different castles in the city, it has this really incredible energy. To this mountain. You can look it up online, Sintra. You'll see these really interesting castles with tunnel systems. And so he's telling me about like taking people there, and we start talking about ayahuasca. And he's like, yeah, this one group actually, without me telling him about Roxy Moon, saying like, yeah, they said they were from the Pleiades star system. They wanted to open an energy center, and there was this vortex there that they made me bring them to, and they did an ayahuasca ceremony there. And I was like, oh, that's really weird because, Roxy, my friend, just told me about Pleiadians and we were talking about ayahuasca, and so that synchronicity kind of stood out. And as the week's going on, and I'm thinking about this number 444 just keeps popping up everywhere, and I have this feeling like I should go check out that spot on the mountain. And so I go Google Pleiadian star system, and I'm looking it up. And as I'm scrolling down, I'm kind of like in shock because it's 444 light years away from Earth. And this was like kind of blew my mind in that moment. And so I'm telling this whole story on the drive up to our San Pedro ceremony. And so I'm like, "Hey, Daniel, can you take me up there at night? Do you think it'd be okay?" And he's like, "Well, you're not supposed to go there at night, but I've never really done it before. But yeah, it sounds like fun. Let's do it." We drive up in my car, not the tuk-tuk, and we're on a road. We go down some like a asphalt road. It's like a gravel road. It's like this little path, and it becomes completely foggy. It's like a different microclimate up there, and I can't see anything. I can't see like 2 feet in front of me. So we're parking the car, and it's drizzling a little bit, and we look at each other. It's like, "Are we gonna do this?" Like, "Yeah, okay, let's do this." So we start walking out into the darkness. There's no lights, a lot of fog, a little path. Can't see anything. It's windy. And like I can't tell if like 5 feet to my left or right, I'm gonna be falling to my death, off the side of a mountain. Like I can't see anything. I'm just trusting this guy in front of me and just trying not to lose him in the darkness. And so after about, 30 minutes of walking, we get to the spot. He's like, "Yeah, this is roughly where it is." And so we just sit down there and we're looking around and kind of like, "Hey, what are we doing here?" And he's like, "Let's do some breath work." I'm like, "Perfect." So we start doing some breath work, and we do like three, four, five, six rounds of breathing. We're starting to feel really like our vibration is rising, and all of a sudden we start oming, and like we're oming louder and louder, and this resonance is kind of happening. And all of a sudden, about 3 or 4 feet above our heads, what looks like is this soccer ball size sphere of light in the fog. It's like right above our heads, and it catches both of our attention. We kind of both look up at it, and it kind of like just dissolves and disappears. And like we kind of look at each other, like, "Did you see that?" And we're kind of like freaked out in this moment. And then like out the corner of our eyes, like another beam of light, like kind of like shoot through the fog. And then in the distance, we see this kind of like glowing triangular shape moving through, probably like 10 or 20 feet away. And at this point, we're kind of like, "Okay, let's get the heck out of here." We're kind of like freaking out and running to ride back. And we're like, "What could that have been? Was it like a drone with a spotlight or..." We couldn't figure it out, and nothing made any sense at that moment. But what it felt like was something was trying to like communicate with us in some way, and I guess we didn't really know how to communicate back. But it always stuck with me. I really didn't understand what the meaning of it was. I still kind of don't to this day. But it was something that really stood out. Some like one of the few paranormal experiences in my life, which I've had a few that are kind of unexplainable. And so I tell this story just as we get to my friend Blake's house, who lives close to the spot where we're going, which is up near Pachamama. And I get out of the car, and like takes James and Eladine like another 10, 15 minutes before they come in. We come in, we chill for a bit, and then we head off to the ceremony, which was a beautiful ceremony. I'm not going to say it was led by in case they don't want their name kind of said on the internet, but it was different. It was all night live music around a beautiful fire, and the fire was built in a very specific way. It was a combination of, traditional San Pedro influence with a Lakota influence, and he talks about the eagle and the condor and this prophecy from his teacher, who South American, was connected with these North American tribes, and they've been working together and sharing medicines, and they'll go down south, and the tribes from the south will go up north. The prophecy of the eagle and the condor is along the lines of, when the condor and the eagle fly together, we'll have this shift in consciousness. We'll see peace. The world will change. And part of, one of the ways that I've heard that prophecy is that it's going to happen in the nest of the hummingbird, which is in Costa Rica. So it's interesting, and it was beautiful. And at the end of the ceremony, the fire ash, the embers of the fire became like this condor, and this healing starts taking place with the leader of the ceremony. We'll go around with these feathers, and one at a time, he would get a healing. And across from me, I can see Aladdin. It's morning time, the sun has risen, and he's getting this healing. And he had this staff that he was holding, and I guess one of those staffs that you can kind of like twirl, and he's just working with it. As he's standing up holding it, someone comes and takes it from him. And And in the morning, he shares his story. There he was, and he was kind of in this space, receiving the healing. And he opens his eyes, and his staff is gone. And all of a sudden, the woman who took it gives it back to him. And as she puts it in his hand, he has this vision of a baby girl. And he knew instantly that was his daughter that hadn't been born yet. And it was so clear that that was his daughter that he wanted to go and speak to the woman who had given him the staff. And he asked her name. As they're talking, he's been experienced. Her name was Alciones. And Alciones, which, and he said, "What does that mean?" He goes, and immediately he felt that that was the name of his daughter without any kind of reservation. He's like, "Yeah, that's her name." And she said, "It's actually the name of the fourth star in the Pleiades star system, the Seven Sisters. The fourth star is named Alciones." And so his mind is blown. And he comes and he's telling me the story. And I'm like, "Holy shit, man, that's insane. How is it even possible?" And then James is like, "Yeah, tell him the rest of the story." So when we got to Blake's house and they were taking time to come in, what's also funny is that when she showed him, she had Alciones had the Pleiades on her phone screensaver, and where the fourth star was, there was a game of Aladdin's lamp right beside the star. And Aladdin was like, "Are you kidding me? Is this real? Like, what is that?" She's like, "I don't know. It's some silly game I've had there forever, but I don't even know why I don't even play it. Another synchronicity." But anyways, so when we were at Blake's house, and the reason why they didn't come in right away because Aladdin was telling James a story, and Aladdin is Colombian. And when he was 18, about 10 years ago, he wanted to leave Colombia, and his father was like a medicine man, a shaman, and Aladdin wanted nothing to do with it. He didn't believe in it, and he took off, went to Vietnam, traveled around the world, and about 3 years ago, his father passed away. I was telling James about the story about right before his father passed away, he called them on video call and he hadn't seen him in all these years. And he was being about to be put on a ventilator. And his father said, "Aladdin, I really need you to know something." He knew this was going to be his last conversation. He's like, "Never forget, we are from the Pleiades." And that was the end of the conversation. He never really knew what it meant, and he was kind of like trying to connect with it, and all of a sudden it kind of like all came full circle in the ceremony. And he told me that story, and I just got like these incredible like goosebumps all over my body. And it was this wild, wild synchronicity. And I still don't know what it means for me, although I'm like this interesting part of the story that get weaves. And for all these things to happen, the probability is like one in a bazillion. Or it's 100%. Like it just had to happen that way. And this is kind of how it works when you have the awareness to see these patterns, you can kind of follow them. And it's like clues that are leading you to a higher truth, to a deeper understanding of your role in this place and this time. And the ceremony was beautiful. Like, I was actually drinking medicine and visions of both my grandfathers. We were there all around the same age at the time and just like throwing up together, laughing together, healing together. It was so beautiful. And it's been such a beautiful realization this last week of just like just surrendering and letting go and not worrying too much, not taking life too seriously, but also creating space for creation. And I also had this realization that when I opened that tattoo shop years ago, and it was like one of the craziest times of my life in 2010, I had a vision that the guy who opened the tattoo shop with, he was a Hare Krishna, who was a vegetarian, got me into vegetarianism. And it flashed a memory of when I met my current business partner, Thais. And we reconnected after kind of falling, drifting apart for a year at Vegan Fest in Toronto. And I was remembering that if I hadn't gone vegetarian for all those years, I would have never went to that, never reconnected with her, and we would never have the relationship and the business and all the things that are happening now. And it was a small reminder that like how everything that's happening in your life is happening for a reason. And like I said, those 3 or 4 years or 2 or 3 years in that tattoo business, maybe I'll tell a story about it in another podcast, was so hard, and I was in so much fear, and it was like hardest few years of my life. And so many times I'd say like, I wish I could take that time back in my life. But I was shown how like, hey, even that played a role in this. And so whatever you're going through right now, we don't know how it's going to connect the dots in the future. We don't know where those synchronicities are going to align, how one little thing that's happening to you out of all the things that may be going on in the chaos in your life right now are going to be meaningful in some way later on down the road, 5, 10, 20 years later. So try to step out of the chaos. Try to step out of the chaos because the chaos is trying to create something, trying to move something, trying to bring awareness to you. It's trying to realign things and try not to get caught in it. And it's so attached to it. And so that's all I got for this week. It was a beautiful, beautiful reminder of synchronicities of how things happen that don't always have a clear connection right away, but will unfold at a later point in time. So if you like this, please share it. Please subscribe, leave a review, whatever, or just say hi. Elemental Geo on Instagram. Love you. Thank you. And see you next time.